It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, hello. Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams, your host, and this is The George Williams Show. Folks, we are so glad to be back behind the mic. Very glad. And if I haven't said it to a lot of you out there, Happy New Year's. And we hope your New Year's is bright, 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 and rewarding. Okay? So, folks, our number here is 251-343-0106. And if you're outside our listening area, you know anybody who want to listen, they can do it over the internet. And here is the internet, fmtalk1065.com. That's fmtalk1065.com. And, folks, you can hear us all over the world on the internet, okay, at that location, fmtalk1065.com. All right, what are we going to talk about, folks? We have so much to talk about. We're going to have our guest, Dr. Lou Capominosi, who was on last week, and we just didn't finish. We didn't have time to finish our conversation, folks. And he will, he'll be with us. I think we have somebody on now. Who do we have, Phil? Hello?
Hello, George. It's Lou.
Oh, how you doing, Dr. Lou?
I called early because my internet was not working, so I couldn't listen to what you're saying in your monologue.
Oh.
So I'm here listening, and when you're ready to go with me, we'll be ready to kick it off.
Great, great, great. All right, Doc. As a matter of fact, folks, this is Dr. Lou Capominosi, and he was with us last week. He did a fantastic job. He just didn't have enough time. We didn't have enough time to finish our conversation, so we asked him to come back. So welcome back, Doc.
Thank you very much, George, and Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Doc, we'll start off about talking about Venezuela. What you know, you are a retired Marine Corps major, and what do you think about our activities in Venezuela over the last couple of days?
Well, I mean, the long and the short of it is that this fits into perfectly what Trump is trying to do to regain some semblance of control over our adversaries in our hemisphere. And this goes back to the Monroe Doctrine, which, you know, he has talked about. So from the perspective of trying to deal with moving out Russia, China, the Iranians, Hezbollah out of Venezuela is, I would argue, an important national security objective.
Don't forget the Cubans.
And the Cubans, of course, yes. The Cubans are guarding him. In fact, Venezuela is a Cuban colony for all practical purposes.
Right.
So, yes, I mean, with all of those kinds of things there, but the Cubans aren't the kind of threat that Russia, China, and Iran are. So, but nevertheless, you're absolutely right. I'm sorry, I completely forgot about it, you know?
Yeah.
So thanks for the reminder.
Okay.
But here you have this situation. And, you know, when we were talking about some of the things last week about, you know, a summary of the major things that Trump was doing in foreign policy, the fact is that this hemisphere has been long neglected, okay? And one can argue that it's understandable because, you know, we've had our focus on the Middle East with the war on terror.
Correct.
Okay? But as we were focusing on the Middle East, all the bad guys were starting to do bad things in our own backyard. And I think that that is one of the major questions that had to be answered at some point by the United States. How far are these people going to be able to go in wrecking the Southern Hemisphere and bringing the kinds of problems into the United States. Specifically, and this is one of the key reasons why we went into Venezuela and got rid of Maduro, is because it's a narco state. Now, George, you're a DEA retiree, so you know what's going on with all this stuff. You were in Brazil in your early career. So here we now have a manifestation of a major attack, not a military attack, but an attack, nevertheless, that's killing Americans. About 100,000 people have been killed every year. 30,000 to fentanyl, you know, another 70,000 to assorted drugs.
Right.
So what are we going to do about it? I think I mentioned last week about the war on drugs. I mean, that is part and parcel of what Trump has brought to the table in 2025. But Nixon was the one that started the war on drugs. Excuse me. But it just never got to the point where you could control the interdiction was never able to keep up with all the amount that was coming in. At least that's my interpretation of that.
Well,
and of course, the demand was there.
Yeah,
and that's another aspect of this.
Yeah, and I could tell you, I was a DEA agent during that time in the 70s. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you know, they said a war on drugs, but when you're dealing with these foreign countries, there's no war on drugs because we have no power in those countries. Okay.
Right.
And we have to rely on our counterparts. And if you look at when we were in Brazil, when I was in Brazil for those 6 years, and when I was in Africa, in Nigeria, and we covered 40 countries in Africa, corruption was so endemic. Okay. Until there was no war on drugs. There was a U.S. war on drugs, but in these foreign countries, we had no authority.
Yeah, I mean that's completely true, and there again, it's a two-edged sword in a lot of ways because, you know, we have no authority, and yet these narco terrorists are able to use their movement of drugs across into our border to territories that just either close their eyes or have been bought off or afraid to go against them. I mean, Mexico is a classic example of this. The cartels have a control over what's going on because they kill anyone who gets in their way. Now, correct. Just as a footnote, I think that Mexico should be the next place we go to and do what we have to do to free the Mexican government from the cartel control. But I know that Cuba is, you know, going to be very vulnerable to this because they're so dependent upon the oil coming out of Venezuela. I mean, that pays the Cuban, you know, infrastructure, their military, all like that, keeps the country running, essentially. So it's going to be one thing to see what happens to the Cubans when this Venezuelan oil starts going away. It's just like when the Russian, you know, we went through the transition from the Soviet Russia to a more supposedly small D democratic Russia, they cut off all of their support to the Cubans, and so it created a crisis there. But the point I'm trying to make here is that this whole question about a major emphasis in foreign policy on our own backyard, as I think I said last time, what did Trump do? He immediately got the Chinese out of the Panama Canal.
Correct.
You know, and started to move in the direction of a real forcible war on what is going on. We moved all sorts of people down there, Navy battleship group, I mean, aircraft carrier group, Marines. So you have a situation where now I think that if what we've seen so far is a flawless military operation, that when you start thinking about military operations like this, then the one that comes to my mind is when we tried to free the POWs out of Vietnam. And I think that that's one of those operations that was similar to this, except when they landed, the prisoners were gone. But that operation went off without a problem either. So much intelligence. And the issue of intelligence is another thing that we've had CIA agents on the ground pinpointing where the air defenses were.
Hold on, Doc. We have to take our first break. We'll be back.
Not a problem.
With
okay.
Dr. Lou Capominosi. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
And we are on a mission. Right now we're talking to a friend of the show, Dr. Lou Capominosi. And he's a retired major, Marine Corps major, and he is also a PhD-er. And a professor, and we're so glad to have him back. And he's also involved with the political situation. Now he's in Louisiana, and he was in Alabama for a long period of time. Welcome back, Doctor.
Thank you very much, George.
Right.
Don't advertise that I'm a PhD. In the conservative movement, PhDs are suspect. You know that.
You know? All right. If I could think of it, all these years, everybody call you Doc. So
yeah, I know.
But anyway, Doc, and when you were talking about what Trump did in Venezuela, it reminds me of Grenada. And it also,
exactly.
When I landed in Vietnam in 1965, the Marines landed in the Dominican Republic. Remember that?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
That was something. So, I mean, and there, Clinton put the airborne into Haiti, okay?
Correct.
So there's recent examples of this. And it's really interesting that Biden, I think in 2022 or 23, raised the amount of money that you could get if you turned Noriega in to $25 million.
Correct.
So even the Democrats a few years ago understood that he was a narco-terrorist, and they were trying to get him. But here's Trump. He gets him, and what are the Democrats doing?
Condemn him.
This is the typical Trump derangement syndrome.
Right.
I mean, look, if he announces tomorrow that we have found a cure for cancer, and by God, we're there. They would poo-poo it.
That's right.
It would be crazy. So at any rate, but your point about these other exercises is exactly right. The most recent thing that was flawlessly done was bombing the nuclear facilities in Iran.
Right.
That went off perfectly. 150 aircraft,
right,
doing what they had to do, support aircraft. This was a little trickier, though, because you had to make sure the air defense was taken care of and that whatever kind of close proximity there was, that they could have a quick reaction force to support, you know, Madero's home area.
Right.
Well, then they had to take care of that. As I understand that there were probably about 60 casualties on the part of the Venezuelans, okay? So here then is a situation where there's justification for this. But of course, the Democrats are howling mad. Oh no, there's no justification. Well, I mean, if you are of the opinion, as we are, that if you are a narco-terrorist state and you are sending drugs into the United States and we are losing 100,000 people a year because of it, then that gives the president the authority under Article 2 to take what's necessary to defend his country.
Right, but remember, Doc, when Trump first took office, he mentioned three countries, mainly because of drugs, and he initiated tariffs on them, okay? It was not about oil or anything like that.
Exactly.
But the Democrats, you know, they are so creepy and such liars. all of a sudden, forget about the drug situation with Maduro and what he was involved in. Now it's because we want the oil. However, Doc, remember, when I've been to Venezuela about three times, okay, when I was with the reserves, and we went there to work on projects to help them out. And we did that before Chavez took office, okay?
Right.
Took over the government. And then after he took over the government, he nationalized all the foreign countries, especially oil. And the Americans lost billions of dollars.
Right.
At that time because they took over the, our companies. And Trump is saying, look, we want that money back, okay? And you're going to pay it back in oil. So the Democrats are such a creepy and liars. It's unbelievable, Doc.
Well, look at how some of these protests that came out the very morning that people were just now talking about it. You know, no blood for oil.
Right.
Okay. And that was the same thing that they said about in Iraq.
Right.
The bottom line is at this particular juncture that Trump was able to affect something that made it possible for us to look at the possibility of ending the drug cartel control, starting in Venezuela, more than likely going into Colombia, and then possibly Mexico, and of course Cuba. Cuba's last for me because I just don't think they're the major player in the drug issue. But they are a major player in Venezuela because, like we were talking about, they have their intelligence people there. They have guards.
Right.
They have hundreds of doctors.
Right.
So the colonial aspects of what's going on between Cuba and Venezuela is something that I don't think we can discount.
Right.
And it's going to be an issue in terms of what is the new government going to do in terms of handling that, and that's one of the things we want to talk about.
Okay.
But I just wanted to make sure everyone understood that the Democrats can howl all they want about we've got to, you know, live up to international law. The international law that they're talking about doesn't exist, okay? When it comes to the self-defense of a country, you have the preeminent right of doing that, okay?
Correct.
And, you know, you get into just law as part of the rationale of what you have to do to go to war. That's a different thing than this being a police action that took care of a guy who had a bounty on his head for the last, 5 years, and the Democrats put the bounty on first, and then they upped it. And
correct.
Now all of a sudden, they're squealing about the fact that Trump did what Biden could never even think about doing.
Correct.
So
correct.
I do think that's all important to keep in mind as this goes forward. But I think the next thing that we need to kind of talk about is this going to be similar to Iraq? Okay. And again, we have the protests. You know, no blood for oil. All right. No further Iraqs, you know, this is all neo-colonialism. So you have this situation where, you know, if we are going to be able to move in the direction that Trump wants, okay, stabilize Venezuela, move them towards, you know, a more democratic approach, cleaning up what's going on, moving the Chinese, the Russians, and the Iranians away from their control, and of course the Cubans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that going to happen tomorrow? No, it's going to take some time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
But here again, we get the situation where if we don't do this, what's going to end up happening is a broader sense of control by our bad guy enemies, Russia, China, Iran, and if that's going to continue with the narco terrorists going on, then where are we? I mean, we either defend ourselves and do what's necessary, or we don't. So if everything goes right, which we're all hoping that it does, then the new president, I think her name is Gonzalez, the new president, she's talking behind the scenes, okay, that she's going to support what Trump wants. But for public consumption, she's got people there who are part and parcel of the Chinese-Russian infrastructure. They're all paid for. So what are they going to do? What is their choice going to be? Are they going to have a coup against her and say to the Americans, come and get us? Well, if they do that, what's our choice?
We have to
go and get them. It's simple.
I don't think they would do that. Because the other night, Doc, they did nothing, okay?
Right.
They did zero except fire a few shoulder-held rifles at some of the helicopters.
Yeah.
That's all they did. They did not do nothing. I don't think they're going to do anything. I think, we have people in country, okay, over there. And our people are talking to them. There's no doubt in my mind, okay? And they're probably making deals with them. Get the hell out of here, or you're going to be taken care of. And they know it.
I don't disagree with that. I think that's absolutely on point. But here's the major difference. You know, these people, because they may be in the pocket of the Russians, the Chinese, or whatever, it's completely different than with Iraq. Saddam Hussein was a brutal dictator. His sons were rapists, killers. Those people there were part of a criminal gang that was in charge, and they had no heartburn about killing anybody. I don't think the people in Venezuela are in that same league. And so I think that what we're working with, and again, we get back to the whole idea, we didn't follow up, we didn't do what we did in Iraq and decapitate, get rid of all the Ba'ath people who could run the country. We've said, no, we're not doing that. We have a new president. We're going to let her run the government and implement the reforms that we think are necessary. At the same time, we've got the big stick right sitting out there in the ocean right off of Venezuela. We've got other means to coerce them, blockading
Right.
But that oil is not going anywhere.
Right. But, Doc, these people are not like in Venezuela, and these South American countries are not like Iraq, Iran, and those South America.
Agree.
They're not like that, okay?
No, I agree.
And you watch what will happen. I don't think anything will happen because I think they're talking to them and they'll get them out because they know. At any time, they could be 6 feet under. So
yes, exactly. I mean, but here again, they have to make a concerted effort to take care of these Cuban guards.
Oh, they're gone. Forget about them. They're probably halfway back to Cuba right now. Okay.
Oh, I hope so.
These special four. All right, we gotta. We'll continue this after the message.
I won't go anywhere, George.
We'll be back with Dr. Lou.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks. Welcome back. Welcome back. And we have Dr. Lou Papamenosi. He is our special guest, and we're talking about current events. Doctor, welcome.
Hey, listen, glad to be back, George, and I'm certainly, glad that we were able to, spend another Tuesday night talking about something extremely important to what's going on in our country, and this whole business of making sure that the South American area is purged of Cuban, Russian, Chinese, and Iranian, control and to a certain degree it is that way, that it's a national security issue that folds right into what Trump is trying to do in terms of protecting the country, not only from the bad guy actors, but from the drugs that these bad guys are sending. I mean, Maduro sent all sorts of bad actors into this country, Tren de Aragua and other people like that. 13 million of these people came across the country, not vetted at all, and now we have a major problem in terms of what 26,000 Chinese nationals came across. You know, Trendy Aguaga, I get that a little confused, but my point is that this is a national security issue, and that we have got to get on top of it. And thank goodness Trump and them are taking steps to make it happen. I mean, you have 1.5 million illegals self-deporting. There's another 1 million that they've gotten under control, and they're gone, worst of the worst, and they're continuing to do that. So at least we're doing something to rectify Biden's terrible open border policy.
Right.
Which is also cutting back on the drugs. Yeah. I mean, the border is closed.
Right.
So they've got to find another means to get the drugs in.
Well, that's why they're trying. And even one thing I'm glad of, okay, because I worked the Canadian border, and it was open, okay?
The northern
border was open. That's why you have a lot of those Somalians and Muslims and other folks in Michigan, in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, they came across the Canadian border.
Yeah.
Okay? It's always been open. They put a chain across like at 4 o'clock, and the next morning they come back and they open it, and that's it. Okay? That's where a lot of those people, because I remember in, 2008, when we had the Republican convention in St. Paul, Minneapolis,
uh-huh.
And I was a delegate then, Alabama delegate, and when I got up there, I saw all of these strange people. And I asked one of the Secret Service guys, I said, where do these people come from? And one state trooper, he said, from across the Canadian border. Okay? So,
yeah.
And that's why Trump mentioned Mexico, Canada, and he mentioned China, because their borders were very lax. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So, I tell you what, we are not dealing, because, you know, I spent 6 years in South America, and I covered Guyana also, and Paraguay, and I can tell you these people are not like in the Middle East, okay? They basically want to live a good life. And I'm talking about the regular citizens. I'm not talking about those organizations, the Trinidad Agua and all them, the Cubans and all them. I don't think we're going to have to do as much to persuade them to do the right thing.
Well, I do think, like we were ending the conversation, is that you've got a situation where we do have leverage here, and it involves the blockading of the oil. The oil's not going anywhere.
Right.
And so once that happens, that money's going to dry up, and then something's going to have to happen. And that's where the argument here is, we can keep the current government, move them in the direction that we want, and have the results we want, which is purging the communist influence, getting rid of the colonial aspects with the Cubans, and then moving towards an open election that provides for the means to this country to get going again, make Venezuela great again. And I think to the degree that Trump places so much emphasis on the oil, I mean, that's they have what the more oil reserves than Saudi Arabia.
Right.
This was a very rich country at one time.
At one time before Chavez took over.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you have, and here, Chavez is the Mandami up in New York.
Correct.
I mean,
correct.
How much more, you know, do we have to learn this damn lesson?
Right.
So at any rate, I do think that we still have the means to do something, and we'll see what happens. But I mean, you never know. I mean, you're liable to find an opposition group in there that is being stymied by the Cuban, you know, guards.
Right.
Like you say, they're gone. But
right.
They can always come back. But so we'll have to see.
Right.
But I don't think that boots on the ground should be a stop for us to do what's necessary to free those people.
No, I can tell you, in my own opinion, my own experience, this government is not the government that we want in there, and they won't be in there for a long period of time, okay? There is going to be other people. Once they have that election and they're free and they're fair, you're going to have a new government in there, and they're going to be pro-Western and not pro-communist or socialist. I do believe that. This government is only temporary, okay?
Well, I completely agree with that, too, and I think that Trump has been, I think, to a certain degree, trying not to push Mercado, the peace, who is, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, and basically she won the election there. But I think he's trying to keep a little wall of separation so that you don't get this anti-American imperialism, and we're going to push somebody who's going to be under our control to take over. I think that's what he's looking at right now, and we'll just see how that goes. But the ultimate goal is to have that election and let whoever wants to run,
right.
And the winner wins.
Win, yeah. And I really think that's what's going to happen. And like I said, off the air, you got to know South America, and this young lady who is the president of Mexico, she's not going to last, okay? Because she's just a puppet, and there's no way those cartels going to listen to her. They're not going to listen to her, and they're not going to listen to the young lady in Venezuela also,
right.
Okay? So they're going to change. This is temporary, very temporary. And once they get the bad apples out of there, because they're still there. I mean, his son is indicted. You know, they're going to get them out of there. Believe me, they will get them out of there, or they'll run to another country. Everybody now is running to Russia, you know?
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah, they're running to Russia. So, but it's good. It's good. But the operation, the scale of that operation was, oh, my God, it's fantastic.
Yeah, from a military perspective, it was incredible.
And then you see all of those DEA guys there. You know, before Chavez, we had an office there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think the danger now is for whatever Americans are still down in Venezuela, I'm hoping that they can quietly stay in the background or get out, so that if everything goes south, then we don't have to worry about American hostages.
True.
You know?
Yeah. This reminds me of something. For those 6 years I was in Africa and I was in South America, I used to have a cap that says USA and USA on some of my T-shirts,
right.
And all that, and they wouldn't bother us. Okay, you know what? It all depends, because Reagan was in office, okay?
Right.
Because Reagan, they know he didn't take any crap. Well, look at what the Iranians, you know, while Carter was in office, they wouldn't release the hostages. Reagan said,
exactly.
You're going to have them out before I am sworn in. Before he was sworn in, what'd they do? Release the hostages. It's strength, and that's what Trump knows. You got to have strength, and those people don't, you know, like Rubio said, one thing the world needs to know, and these leaders who are dictators, that when President Trump says something, he means what he says, and he'll do what he says, okay? That's important. Strength.
Oh, it is.
Strength.
And it's always been important, you know? So
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. What else you got, Doc?
Well, George, we can talk about fraud. I mean, that seems to be another hot topic, okay? Now,
yeah.
Let me just set the stage for this, okay?
Okay.
Fraud has been a problem, okay? And if you weren't paying attention when the Doge people started talking about all the problems, and the classic example, USAID, they had all of these either non-existent NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that either were frauds of themselves but getting money, or they were supporting all these left-wing crazy ideas.
Correct.
So you have this situation that went on like that. And so the U.S. government, the accounting office, basically came up and said this, and this is 2024, last year for Biden. You lost between $233 billion and $521 billion in fraud.
Right.
I mean, George, my God. I mean, you could get everybody in this country $1 million at that rate.
Correct.
You know? So let's take a look at it then from the standpoint of what brought all of this out, okay? And part of it has to be that really since 2018 is what my understanding is. People were starting to suspect that there were problems with various entities that were getting money, you know, for children's support, for food distribution, for those kinds of social welfare services, such as medical services, autism, and things like this. So what you end up having is a major social approach to fixing some of these problems, okay? And all of a sudden, there started to get these whistleblowers. People started to pick up problems. And all of a sudden, you had a young, independent journalist named Rick Shirley, I think, okay? He did a videotape of what he did going to knock on a learning center. And the learning center's name was L-E-A-R, not L-E-A-R-N. I mean, they couldn't even spell the damn thing right, okay?
Right.
So no one's there. So this uncovers a major problem, not only there, but in other places. And I think that once that videotape went viral, then all of a sudden the national newspapers are picking up the problem and showing that there are issues here in front page news everywhere, and then people started to become aware of major issues in Minnesota.
Right.
But then they also started to look into other places, you know, like Illinois, like Colorado,
right,
like New York. Those
right.
states are under pressure now because...
All right, Doc, the music is playing. We've got to go back into our last commercial, okay?
Okay.
And we'll I'll respond to what you just said because this is very important, this fraud thing. And it hasn't just started. I'll explain that. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. We're here with Dr. Lou Cavamanosi, and we're talking about current events, and I think it's very important what we're talking about. So, Doc, again, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, George. Glad to be here.
All right. Now, one thing I would like to say, you were talking about USAID, okay? Now, I remember when I was stationed in the 80s in Brazil and in the 90s in Africa, what used to make the U.S. ambassadors there so angry and so frustrated is that they didn't have control over the USAID people, who were giving out millions and millions of dollars to these organizations that you're talking about.
Right.
And
I mean, that is so true. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with these people.
Correct.
And it's not just the money going out. It's what the money is going out to do.
To do, okay? Correct.
And they have this list of all these things, that transgender, you know, programs in, you know, wherever. I mean, it's this left-wing ideology that has just grown absolutely out of control. And, of course, with Biden, it was on steroids. They did nothing to stop all this.
Correct.
And of course, now Trump is trying to stop it, but you're getting, you know, like I said, they're playing lawfare with the executive branch. You know, And they basically, this is another one of these constitutional issues that the Supreme Court is going to have to sort out. Because the argument here is that these independent agencies in the government, okay, like the Fannie Mae and those kinds of places, they should not be under executive control. That is the argument that's being made. And it's the fourth branch of government. Well, of course, this issue, you know, is in no way, you know, going to be resolved with the independent agencies doing whatever the hell they want to do. So Trump is on the right, not only on the right side of the issue, but Supreme Court, appeals courts have already supported what he's doing to cut funds.
Correct.
Okay? But in the end, we're going to end up having to have the Supreme Court do something to settle this issue. These independent agencies are not independent in of themselves. They are part of the executive branch, therefore the president controls them.
Right.
You know? But
right.
So I mean, but as far as this latest business goes, I mean, here you have a situation where they've uncovered various entities that are part of the problem. One is Feeding Our Future, $250 million in Minnesota. And here again, what's going on is that, you know, they have millions of meals being claimed, okay? They send the bill to the people who are paying it. No checks and balances, no number of people that are being fed. It's all phony.
Right.
I mean, George, and here again, Minnesota evidently was sort of like the test case to see how much fraud you can get away with.
Right.
Well, when you've got a governor like Walz and a Democrat, you know, led assembly, then you're going to be able to do whatever you want to do. They close their eyes to this. Now, here are the results at this particular juncture. You know, what's going on is that Walz has essentially pulled the plug. He's not running for office.
Correct.
So that's an important aspect of this. But, you know, where is the real accountability? They close their eyes to this. They're complicit in this. Now, and if you ask me, Ilhan Omar, a Somalian, you know, immigrant, is getting rich off of this. She came to Congress with a $65,000, you know, bank account. She's got something between $10 and $30 million now.
Correct.
Where do you think this comes from?
Right.
Exactly the fraud that's going on. All of these Somalis who vote for her and they're involved with the fraud situation, that money's going right back into her coffers.
Well,
this is classic you know, corruption.
And it's going overseas, too. It's going back to Somalia.
Yes, some of that money went to El-Shabaab.
That's right.
The terrorist group.
True. That is so true.
So here you have, you know, that particular result. The other thing that's going on is that what you're really finding out is that the programs that were legitimate, and there was a lady on TV today from Minneapolis. She's running an autism center. She's been doing this for any number of years, but now that they've frozen everything in Minneapolis, her legitimate autism center is getting hurt. The point is that the bad guys have managed to not only enrich themselves, but they're hurting the people who have legitimate needs and have legitimate places to go to. But that's going to really hurt a lot of different people. The other national aspect of this, in my view, is that what's happening is that the screening about the people who came into Minnesota, and you mentioned it, where lots of Somalis came across these northern tier states out of Canada. There's going to be screening now to make sure that these people did not falsely claim things when they came in, and I think that's going to be an important part of it.
Right.
But the long question, and I hope I can get to this before we're done.
But you got about two more minutes.
The big question centers on, can you have an enclave? a separate society, such as the Somalis have set up in Minneapolis, such as you have in Dearborn with the Muslims from different Middle Eastern countries. Can you have the United States culture the way it should be, with assimilation, or this whole idea, the intellectual foundation of these enclaves goes back to what's called multiculturalism, and instead of the metaphor of the mixing bowl where we mix all these people coming into the United States, assimilate them, it's back to the salad bowl. The salad bowl has big tomatoes. It has separate lettuce. It's got all sorts of different pieces in that salad bowl. That salad bowl metaphor is going to kill this country unless we can get hold of it, because people like Ilhan, Ahmed, she is the epitome of the problem we're dealing with. She's anti-American. She doesn't like the Americans. She's not anything about America. She's representing more than like a very centered, have no intention of assimilating into American culture. And I think that's a long-term danger. Particularly the Muslims have a demographic issue that is starting to really threaten Europe.
Well,
you know, think about it.
And it's straight in America.
And the same thing's going to be happening here.
It's straight in America, because I can tell in the New Jersey City where I grew up at, because I left Daphne when I was 10, and now they have a Muslim mayor, and they have the big PA systems. Five times a day they call the Muslim prayer, and that's what happens, Doc. These people get together. They converge in one area, and they're not citizens. And I think the Supreme Court is going to have to come up with a decision right away, okay, that in order to run for office in America, you must be a U.S. citizen. That's the Constitution. That's what it says.
Yeah, well, and once again, you know, we can't have the Democrats just waving the magic citizen wand and making anywhere from 13 to 20 million people, you know, automatic citizens.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
If they do that, not only is it political suicide for the American people, because the Democrats will control everything at that point, but it's also, you know, suicide for the American culture.
Right.
And I think that it's something that somebody in your home city up there in Newark, that someone needs to go and file a lawsuit about noise abatement over these Muslim things five times a day.
Right, right.
That's the only way it's going to get done. They've got to find somebody to do it.
And also go to the Supreme Court forcing the voter ID law and the only U.S. citizens can vote and be a part of the election.
And the key to that is you have to have an ID to vote.
That's right.
but who on the Democratic Party side wants that? I mean,
they don't.
It is such a joke.
They don't. All right, Doc, we got to get out of here.
All right, Joe.
Time
Listen,
is here.
George, thank you so much again.
You're welcome.
You take care. We'll be in touch.
All right, same here.
Dr.
Capominosi, folks, good friend of the show. And in the political arena, and I just appreciate him coming on and talking to you. He's very avert on what's happening. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Until next week, Vicon Dales, everyone.